This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for more of Drake May's plate, Keith?
Yeah, no, of course. Of course. Give him a big old plate. Give him a big old plate. Get him all kinds of stuff, like a buffet plate.
Some people can't handle the whole plate.
Well, then you go get a new plate. Get a fresh plate.
Well,
they don't want you bringing the old plate back up to the buffet. I think it's like a germ thing.
We'll start with a small one, though, and then you can get another one.
Yeah, if you eat everything on your plate, like you tell your kid, eat all that, then you can maybe have a second donut. Eat the whole donut first.
But then there are some parents who will tell you, now you're going to give them some sort of complex about how they got to eat everything that's on their plate.
Yeah, parenting's tough.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things. If somebody's telling you, hey, you want them, you know, force them to eat broccoli, others are like, just let them eat whatever they want.
Right.
Like, well, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Eating paste. Sitting there eating crayons. Like, you can't do that. You gotta sort of step in at times.
Yeah, it's a hard road to navigate. Which I feel the Patriots' pain on this one. I do.
They do. They're trying to nurture their young quarterback.
You got
to
properly do it.
Uh-huh.
You got to properly do it. I did think it was interesting that Drake May said there, me and Coach got to get on the same page. Because he keeps saying Coach.
Coach.
How many times? He did it all press conference yesterday.
Hey, Coach. It's better than Thundercat.
Well, you know what else he said? Keith, you pointed this out to me. I only noticed it in one answer with the EIF.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He says, shoot, over and over and over again.
He's like, if you don't know he's from the South, just listen to him. Yeah, he'll drop a couple shoots.
He's going to let you know.
Nobody around here says shoot.
Nope.
Right? But if you're from the South, I think that's sort of ingrained in you because it's like a polite way.
Yeah.
Because around here, we would just say.
He also says coach.
Coach.
Which I think is deferential, but it's also confusing because it's like, are you talking about Vrabel or are you talking about McDaniels? I think he's talking about McDaniels.
He's got a lot of coaches.
He does.
He does have a lot of coaches. I have no problem with that. Call him coach. He's your coach.
I know, but.
You should call him.
It's just confusing
Josh
for us because is he talking about Vrabel or is he talking about McDaniels?
Well, what
was the question?
I think I would go based off of the question, right?
The question was about his comfort level and then it was about how much is on his plate. So I'm assuming that it's about McDaniels. That's the inference, but I don't think in any question he was asked directly about McDaniels.
In the transcripts, Jones, and I did the research on this. In the transcripts, whoever transcribed it for that particular answer, in brackets.
Oh, they bracketed it for us.
Josh McDaniels.
Oh, they contact. Okay, so that's
according to the transcriber.
He says coach, but Patriots Media Relations, very reliable.
Yeah.
They say Josh McDaniels. Like,
I think it'll continue to get better between me and coach, and then they put bracket Josh McDaniels.
Okay, good. Well, that's helpful.
Yeah.
All right, good. So now we know who he's talking. That was my inference.
He was talking about Josh McDaniels.
But so they got to get on the same page. Interesting. Just another thing that we're
one week in,
here.
You're not on the same page? What the hell were you guys doing all camp?
I thought that's what the offseason was for. I certainly thought it's what OTAs and mini camps and joint practices and preseason games were for.
And
but
so
what do I know?
This is not revisionist history because during the preseason, we thought he should play more, specifically because he and Josh McDaniels were working together for the first time, let alone Will Campbell and Henderson and Williams and all these guys. But like
specifically the Minnesota game. The Commanders game were both like couple series, fine. But that Minnesota game were like he should play a half. And he played two series again and looked like garbage.
And you're like, you're kind of it's almost like an established quarterback or a quarterback that has had the same coach and the same teammates and same level of success where you're like, I don't need to see. There were times I remember during the 20-year run of Tom Brady where I was like, I kind of wish he played less in the preseason, right? Like, I almost thought he did too much because you knew what he was. And with Drake May, we didn't. And you saw that in week one and you're like, you know, not that two more series would be the biggest difference in the world, but I don't know, it could help you. Right? Because that's a situation where wins and losses don't matter at all in the preseason. You could just work on stuff, get the comfort level up. Because that is one thing that stood out. He just didn't look super comfortable. And maybe that's why some of the airmail throws happen, is because he's not super comfortable or super confident in the offense and everything else. So, you know, did they maximize training camp and the preseason? Very early results, but it would lead to be no thus far.
That's how I feel about it. Yeah. And we have questions here on Jones and Keefe. You can discuss at 617-779-7937. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And you can do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Can he handle the job? And that's a big overarching question that covers a lot of different things. Like, can he handle the coaching? Can he handle the pressure? And that's not even specific to New England, like it would have been for Mac to a degree, Cam the year after Brady. It's not even just, you know, who used to be here and constantly compared to Brady, but it's just the pressure of being an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. Well, he's like, he does have the benefit of being four quarterbacks removed from the greatest of all time.
Correct.
Right. Cam Newton had that tough job. And I thought Cam Newton had the right personality. Obviously, the season didn't go his way and he was kind of shot, but he had the right personality. Like, I'm a league MVP. I can take over for Brady. But then you're like, all right, you move on. Then Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, Jacoby Brissett. We are all now desperate for somebody else to sort of be that lead quarterback for a decade. Like, that's the idea when you draft somebody this high in the draft, that he sort of takes over, establishes himself in the first couple of years, and then you have the thing that we had here for so long, and maybe we took it for granted a little bit, is just every offseason not being the team being like, who's the coach, who's the quarterback? Too many teams, the whole AFC East for years and years and years, they were just shuffling them around. To the point where, like, Rex Ryan coached two of the three other teams in the division. Chad Pennington, quarterback, two of the three teams in the division. Like, they're all bopping around. You don't want to be that, because that's where you set yourself back so far, and the chances of you making a run are just so slim.
So, it's true. And, you know, can he handle the job comes right down to his accuracy, cleaning up turnovers, the silly fumble, just being over-amped to start these games. Like, yeah. We talked yesterday how it's a huge week for Mike Vrabel and this whole operation and getting people on board, the belief from players, fans, whatever, but specifically in that locker room, belief in Vrabel that they're on the right track. People expect big things this year. I assume the team expects big things this year, at least a big step forward, if not a playoff berth. So you can't lose to the Dolphins this week. Same thing for May. If May is going to be the guy and he's going to be on pace to be a franchise quarterback here in New England, I would like to see him start to turn some of this around, cleaning up turnovers, cleaning up inaccuracy, and actually piling up wins. So can he handle the job? I don't think we know the answer yet, but we're going to start to find out hopefully on Sunday against the Dolphins. Again, 617-779-7937. He was asked about his plate.
Yeah, there's a lot of plate talk.
A couple of different ways.
I don't know if we should credit Phil Perry for this or blame him for this, because it's been all plate talk for like four straight days.
Yeah, it's not bad though.
I like it.
Good play talk.
Yeah, I like it.
Is what it is. So he very definitively disagrees that his plate is too full. In fact, he says there's not too much on his plate.
Is anything
not,
like, too much on your plate?
No. I mean, I think, like I said previously, anytime you're playing quarterback in the NFL, it's a lot on your plate. You know, you're playing quarterback for, you know, one of 32 teams. You know, it's a lot. And, you know, something I don't take for granted. You know, what a special position it is in this league. And there's a lot of good that comes with it, and there's a lot of stuff that's on your plate, and that's just part of it. So I'm trying to do whatever I can to, you know, study as much as I can and, you know, hear the play calls and study the formations before he calls them. And, yeah, like I said, there's a lot of things that go into it, being accurate and play calling and getting in and out of plays. So just trying to, like I said, get a good grip on it. I think the more we do that, you know, kind of throughout the weeks and as the season goes on, the better I'll feel for in this offense.
Okay. So, no, not too much on his plate. There's a lot of stuff you got to deal with.
That's
right,
the
amount, job.
The Goldilocks on the plate. So that's good. I guess we'll be fine. I mean, I think it feels like something is going to change, though, right? Like, they can say all the right things. Or do you think it's going to be more of the same?
Well, so this is a question I have. How do you think they help him on Sunday? And I know part of your answer is play Diggs more, play Henderson more. Yeah. I do know that's part of your answer. I think a lot of people want more balance on offense. But what do you do? Do you say, we talked about this, I think, in the crossover with Hart, or was this, I forget if it was off the air, but he's like, let him be him.
Yeah.
Let him go out there and sling. Let him run. Don't put the reins on him. Like, go out there and let him play free. So I think there are a lot of things they could do to help him. I'm curious what you think him this weekend.
I think that would be ideal, but I don't know if they're willing to do that. Like, so they had all camp, all preseason.
It did not look that way week one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And, like, to the point where he, like, over-exaggerated his slides to make it look like, hey, see, coach, I'm not running. So I don't think you take one loss and then just say, all right, we're going to do everything different. Because that's also kind of crazy. Like, how committed really were you to this plan if you're willing to change it all like
you
that?
But you should adjust.
You should adjust.
You don't want to throw out everything you had planned and you were building to, but you should adjust on how bad you guys were last week.
So that's what I would do. I agree with Hart on that. I would let him run around a little bit more. I would have design runs. I would also tell him, hey, if it's not there, feel free to run. I would do all that. I don't think they are. I think what's going to make him successful on Sunday, and there's probably a 50-50 chance of this, is if they have success running the ball. Like, they didn't run the ball well last week, and then they didn't do it in the second half. But if it goes the other way, and Henderson and Stevenson have a really good game, and now it's, you know, second and four every time, or third and one every time, then I think Drake May, like most quarterbacks, will probably be fine. But if it's third and 10 more often than not, then no, I don't think he's going to have a very good game. So I kind of want Josh McDaniels to call the game a little bit differently. I don't have a lot of confidence that he will, but they could still have success if, you know, Henderson and Stevenson and the offensive line have a much better game against Miami than they did against the Raiders defense.
So you dig in on the Colts last week. They ran for a lot of yards against Miami. They ran for 156, but it was 40 attempts. And they were up early. Miami kept turning it over.
Yeah, they probably ran a lot in the second half.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the efficiency was in the first half. I can dig in further on that.
But Indiana Jones had a couple of touchdown runs.
This is what I was going to say. It wasn't all Jonathan Taylor just running wild. In fact, Taylor ran for 71 yards on 18 carries, just under four a pop.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones had 7 carries, 26 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also did whatever he wanted. He threw for 272. He's 22 out of 29 with another touchdown. So he had his way with this defense.
I think 7 carries for Drake May would be good.
Well, it was 4 last week, and I think that
7!
Were there any designed? I don't recall one off the top of my head designed. I don't want to say there definitively weren't.
I thought there was one. I heard somebody talking about it said there was none, but I remember one.
Okay.
But whatever.
So let's say one out of the four was a designed run. The others were scrambles where he slid like a yard in front of the line.
And like really weird over-the-top slides.
Yes.
Like on your back slide.
So let him.
Well, that was last time he didn't. He got popped in the head and got a concussion.
No, I know, but it's like they clearly taught him to do it this way, and he just like was overboard.
It just didn't look right. I don't want him to get hurt. And
no, obviously.
It's probably you don't need to fight for an extra yard or two there when you're only getting 2 or 3 anyways. But it didn't look right. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
So look, the matchup is there. If you want to take advantage of it, are the Patriots going to let him take advantage of it? And on some level, I do think they lean on the run early and see if Miami can stop it. If they can't, stick with it. And don't get away from it like he did last week. I think
but
those are ways to help
too,
him.
And like, this is a McDaniels thing more so than it is even Drake May or Mike Vrabel. But you're up by 3, you could still run the ball. You're down by 4, you can still run the ball.
100%.
Right? It was like, oh boy, we're in trouble now.
Minnesota was down, was it 11? Against Chicago, was it 17-6 at one point in that game? I forget the exact. They kept running. They didn't get away from the run.
Right.
You abandoned the run in a one-score game that you were leading in the second half.
Strange.
And so that's something to stick with if you want to help Drake May this weekend. Can he handle the job, and how do you help him? 617-779-7937. We're going to go on the clock at high noon. We'll tell you what the Patriots need to do to get their first win. Some overlap here with how they help Drake May. We'll talk to Rob Bradford at 11:30. We do that every Thursday, get the latest on the Red Sox. Aroldis Chapman is human, Keith. I know you were rooting for some of that. We'll get to it later on in the program.
You'll thank me later.
I think you big brained this one, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you're going to kind of like it.
So we'll get to
long term. This is a
long
term
play.
Take.
Bad for yesterday, but good for the long term.
Yes.
We also have a Key for Madness for you at 12:45, so stay tuned for it. A couple of texts here early on in the show. Who has a better day on Sunday, Keith? Drake or Mac? Mac is now starting it sounds like for sure this weekend for the Niners, and it could be for like the next month.
Yeah,
right?
I think Purdy's out 2 to 5 weeks, or expected to be out 2 to 5 weeks with turf toe.
Turf toe.
Dude, turf toe stinks.
I thought it was a shoulder.
He's apparently really banged up.
I guess he had both in the
head,
game.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
I thought it was his left shoulder, but he's out with turf toe, so Mac is starting.
Honestly, it might be kind of a toss-up. They both have a great matchup, right? San Francisco's playing the Saints, but there's no George Kittle.
Right.
There's no Jennings, right? That's what Nick said? Or is he questionable?
I'm actually not sure
about
him.
He's questionable. Okay. I know he couldn't lift his arm. They said it on the broadcast. They didn't
last throw it
game.
Low. Throw the ball low to him.
Low throw.
He'd catch it right in his...
That'd be a problem for Drake.
No problem with that.
That'd be a problem for Drake early in these games.
For sure. Oh, maybe that's the theory. Maybe Drake May just needs taller receivers. Have you thought about that?
Yeah.
Is he overthrowing guys or are they too short?
I had not been thinking about it, but yeah,
maybe
get him.
Get some really tall guys like LeBron James.
Oh, that tall?
Yes.
Okay.
He airmails these guys. He needs to go like tallest receivers in the league type of guys.
Get him Bobon.
I'll answer your question.
Teo Johnson, I remember from Madden, was like the tallest guy in the game. Get him Teo Johnson out of retirement. What's he doing?
So both are on the road, Drake May and Mac Jones. I'll take Drake May, but I don't think it's going to be in like a knockout. Because I think Mac Jones is terrible.
All right, so just stop with that. That's already bad enough. You're like, oh boy, debate. I don't know. Like Mac or Drake, it's legitimately a debate.
It is. Do you think it's decisive one or the other?
No, I'd take Drake, but I'm with you. I don't feel great about it.
I know.
I don't at all.
Part of that's the play caller and everything else that's tied up in it.
Teo Johnson, by the way, 6'7", 260.
6'7"?
That's a big boy.
Man.
Is what that is.
No, he's just tall.
Yeah, he's been
everyone on one who... He kind of big-shamed Morgan Moses. He's like, hey, he's tall, big. That was a great line.
He did big-shame
like,
him.
We do need a host of the week, though.
Well,
I have a candidate.
We're talking to Milt the Stilt tomorrow, so like maybe we can ask him at least about his stance who is a host.
I'm one episode behind on MTV Challenge.
Oh.
CT could be host of
the week. CT might be. You didn't watch the new one last night?
I didn't. So I watched last week's last night.
Yeah.
So I'm one behind.
Yeah, CT.
CT had a rough go.
Struggling.
So I don't know how much longer he's going to last.
He's struggling
with
the ladder.
Don't spoil it for
me.
But I think he could be Massachusetts native, New England legend.
CT host of the week.
I think CT showed up as host of the week.
Get him in the mix.
I think he's a nominee. Let me put him out there.
I don't hate it one bit.
All right.
Speak that one into the ether. By the way, this question is from Twitch. I find this interesting because I've never asked Greg about this.
Yeah.
Text line says, Jones, I have a question from Twitch.
Okay.
Why do some of you use headphones, but some of you don't? Are they even necessary?
I think everybody but Greg does.
No, I don't. Does Courtney always?
Oh, actually, I don't know. So it's very strange. Every radio show I've ever been a part of, everybody uses headphones. Because one, you can't hear the callers unless you have headphones in.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't have headphones in and you're talking to the microphone, you just sound like really quiet.
Correct.
But anyway,
I already scream all the time. Yeah. If I didn't have headphones on, I'd be screaming even more.
Like you wouldn't be able
to hear yourself.
You wouldn't be able to hear Nick or Billy if they just wanted to chime in. You wouldn't be able to hear any of that sound drops or whatever. Greg actually does have a pair of headphones, but he puts them next to him.
He treats them like speakers
and cranks them up. So he listens to it that way. I've never seen that
before. Like desktop speakers.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I've
never seen that before, but that's what he does.
I mean, look, Greg's a veteran of the industry.
Maybe we should all do it that way.
I've never asked Greg why he does or does not do that, but good question from Twitch.
I think
it's wild because his mic does pick it up.
Sometimes if you look at
the files, you could see Greg's headphones.
What's
going on there?
I'll have to look at the files in the next break, Nick. Yeah, I got to check the files. What I got to do?
Wow.
But yeah, that's good inside radio there.
That is
a
good question and a thoughtful answer.
We're all pro headphones on this show.
Oh, yeah.
But why does Greg do it? Interesting question. 617-779-7937. A reminder that Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. Sly Stallone, he's back, Keith.
Woo!
In the original hit series, Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built to protect his empire. You can stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. It's a big thumbs up from Billy back there, I know. So get Paramount Plus. You can watch Tulsa King and the latest there with Sly Stallone. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. 617-779-7937. We can get into Steph Diggs as well. We mentioned he should play more this weekend. Can the Patriots count on him? We'll get to that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I felt good. I actually missed the contact portion of it as far as like getting hit a little bit. So I look forward to getting back out there. You know, I'm more thankful for anything. I hate losing. You know, obviously, I wasn't too happy about that. But at the same time, I took a lot from it as far as like me getting back out there, and, you know, getting acclimated again and getting some contact and, you know, catching the ball again. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That was Stephon Diggs yesterday talking to the media. I don't think he scolded anyone yesterday. Not that I saw.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
So
no pizza parties that we needed between Steph Diggs and the media yesterday. Yep. That's good.
Days without apologizing. We can update that to five or whatever. Yeah, that's good.
I know you want to see more of him this week.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Does that mean, I think we all agree it's more than Mac Hollins.
Oh, yeah.
Is it more than Pop Douglas? Is it more than your guy, Kayshon Booty, who all of a sudden popped up on the injury report?
Yeah, might be because of that.
Like how much more Diggs do you want to see this week?
Well, what was the snap percentage? Like 50? What was it?
Yeah, something like
75.
That.
75.
Yeah.
Like bump it up. I'm not saying he's out there every single play. And I know they don't run a ton of three receiver set. Didn't really feel like it. But when you do, he should always be on there. And then a lot of the two receiver sets, I think he should be on there. And this may also depend on how much they run the ball. We had Taylor Kyles on yesterday, and he was like, well, a lot of times when they ran the ball on Sunday, he wasn't out there. Which I say, okay, fine. But you also don't want to telegraph it too much. This is a problem McDaniels has had in the past where James White's out there, we're going to throw it.
Sony Michel's out there,
we're going to run it.
Exactly.
Like, you don't need to do that. So you need to mix it up a little bit more. But he should play more. I do think Drake May looks for him, as he should. He's probably the most sure-handed receiver they have. He might not be that explosive, like, see you later down the sideline receiver, or even when he's lined up in the slot, like, you know, breaking ankles. But he can get open. He's going to stay in bounds always and you know, do the toe tap and all that stuff. I think he's an important part of the offense, so I'd like to see him more. And I bet Drake May would like to see him out there more.
So, agreed. And I think he played 29 snaps, he's targeted on 7 of them. So that is a good percentage for how often you're out there. And the further we get away from the game, I initially watched the game. I don't believe he had a catch in the first quarter. I'd have to go back and double check. I don't think he had a catch in the first quarter. There were a bunch of formations where I'm like, he's not even out there early on in the game. So maybe that got in my head to start. When you do look back at his first game coming off a torn ACL, 6 catches, 7 targets, 57 yards. We went through the list of all the receivers who had terrible week ones last week.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean he's going to be better than A.J. Brown or Jamar Chase all year long, but it's just, it's a way to look at it and say, the guy just got back. Week one wasn't a boom week by any means. It wasn't vintage Steph Diggs, but it was pretty good. And I think, speaking of plates, you can put more on his this week.
Yeah, you definitely can. And he even said something yesterday, too, about getting hit for the first time.
Yes.
Which is, you know, they didn't hit a lot in
camp.
He's
like, I'm a receiver. I don't want to get hit, but I do the week one. I want to take some hits.
No, but like being at training camp, they didn't hit each other very often.
No.
And then even when they had the joint practices, it was still kind of like a similar vibe to it, right? Where you would, you know, a little bit of contact, but not to the ground. And then Diggs didn't play in any of the preseason games. So Diggs, as far as I know, got tackled 0 times in the last 2 months, and therefore 2 months in the last 10 months, right? Like, he hasn't gotten tackled in so long.
When did he tear up his knee? Halloweenish last year?
Yeah. So that, I think, to him is probably something he had to get over a little bit too. And he sort of did speak to that yesterday. Just a guy coming off an injury, has not had any contact. It probably feels good, but it could feel good on a treadmill or on a practice field. But then when it comes to a game, how is it going to hold up? and he probably passed the test. And yeah, watching the game live, it was one of those things where just when I was ready to be like, is he even out there? Then there'd be a catch. And you're like, oh, okay, all right, he is out there. And then it'd be like another catch. And you're like, okay, this isn't bad. Because I don't think anybody set the expectation level for him too high. Right, nobody's like, he's going to be the Buffalo Bills Diggs. He's going to have 10 touchdowns and 1,000 yards. No, I think everybody's lower than that.
I think the
fine.
Most everybody was asking for was basically the pace he was on last year in Houston.
Which is what he did week one.
Yeah.
And like, correct. You're like, okay, that's a good place to start considering that overall was not a good game by the offense. And they struggled a bit. And yet he was still able to have that level of production. I'll take it. I just would like to see it go up this week.
So because you mentioned the way that Vrabel's kind of run the offseason, lack of hitting, lack of padded practices, lack of physicality, we'll get to Gonzalez coming up. We talked about that briefly yesterday. He did not practice yesterday.
No.
But Morgan Moses was not at practice yesterday.
Yeah.
Harold Landry, not at practice yesterday. They were both listed with foot injuries, or at least they didn't participate. I shouldn't say they weren't there, but they didn't participate.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Kayshon Booty, limited practice. So that might inform why Vrabel gave them a light day yesterday. Reese tweeted this out. One semi-surprise. Semi-surprise.
Semi-surprise.
Yeah, not a full surprise. Yeah,
semi.
A semi-surprise.
It's getting there.
You want to leave.
It's getting there.
A little something for the full surprise. You start with a full surprise.
Yeah.
It could be disappointed.
It should warm up this afternoon.
Semi-surprise?
Yeah.
There's a little room for something there. He says, not a full pads practice, lightened load. So they go out. What? Okay. They go out and they lose to the Raiders week one in an offseason where Vrabel doesn't put them through their paces.
Yeah.
And the first time they get back out there to practice on Wednesday, he goes, no pads today, guys. We're good. Like that.
We got it under control.
Maybe he knows what he's doing. We're going to find out. But I got to be honest.
Well,
judging
isn't Wednesday usually like veteran off day?
Fine.
But so maybe that's Morgan Moses,
okay,
DNP.
Moses might be. He wasn't given listed with rest. He was listed with a foot injury. But maybe they're giving
him the rest of the
maybe
guys?
They're giving him a rest day. Everybody who's out there doesn't need to be in pads?
I don't know. Because it didn't look great week one, and that's what the theme kind of was throughout camp. And so, like you said, he's at least been there, done that. There would be a lot more criticism for Mayo last year, but that also would have been because, all right, that's just he's going into his second game as a coach. Mayo, or Vrabel's at least done it for six seasons, and I don't know what he did in Tennessee after wins, after losses, and like how that all broke down. So maybe it is somewhat similar, but it just seems like, I mean, there's so much on the line on Sunday for a week two game because Mike McDaniel's like on his way out. Like this might be his last game. Nobody, by all accounts, nobody likes Mike McDaniel, but if they play well for him and they beat the Patriots, like what does that tell you?
Correct.
Yeah.
So like, right.
I would say the good news and the positive is I don't see how it could be worse.
We all think he's about to get fired. We all think he's dead man walking out of a job.
He's
clueless. Teams
stuff.
Turned on him. Yeah. Tyreek Hill's getting investigated by the league. Like they got smoked last week by Indy, who we all thought was going to be bad.
Right.
What does it say if you lose to that team? And what does it say about Vrabel and his entire operation? This is
what
we're talking about.
I think it is worth noting where like we'll see what happens on Sunday, and then we can always look back and be like, hey, having a soft practice on Wednesday was beneficial and it worked out and you won or whatever. Or we look back and be like, hey, remember when we mentioned that and they came out and they also had a bad first drive again and all this.
This is why in training camp we go when Bedard's like it's the softest camp I've ever seen and man it's another unpadded practice and another glorified walkthrough and we're pointing it out in the time and people go well it's just practice what do you care
yeah
well this is why we highlight it in real time so let's see maybe he has them ready and they're fresh and ready to go in the heat in Miami or maybe they're not ramped up for the physicality which Diggs is saying he wants and finally got in a game. So we were discussing Vrabel and his whole operation yesterday. We continue to do so. Talk about Drake May today and whether or not he can handle it as a starting quarterback here in New England in the NFL. I'd say at best right now, the jury's out. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We can believe certain things. This is old man on Twitter, Keith.
Old man?
Well,
did he get it on the ground floor?
Old underscore man 85579.
Okay. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
So he was close on being the first old
He's
man
He's one
on
of
Twitter.
The old men on Twitter.
Old underscore man.
He says that's true. Yeah. Old man was long gone.
Smoked.
Old underscore man, he was still like the 85th,
1.
Something like that.
Yeah. 2935.
85,000 old underscore men.
Got it.
Not great. Drake.
$1.429, $626.
I mean, we could laugh at that. I wasn't much better than
that. No, you're really pretty much the same.
Drake, he either has it or he doesn't. So far, he ain't got it. I agree.
Well, so far, yeah, I would agree. But it could turn around. It can absolutely turn around.
text line here, and this echoes a little bit of what we were talking about yesterday. Do you guys remember, or no, I'm sorry. I just had a major realization.
Okay.
Drake May's two biggest assets, his arm and his legs. McDaniels is taking advantage of neither. What good does it do to have a cannon for an arm when all you're making him do is throw it 5 or 10 yards? He needs to chuck the ball. Was it you who said this? Was it Taylor Kyle who said this? But the idea of Drake May and what he does well versus the Josh McDaniels system, which is more dink and dunk. I think it was Taylor Kyle.
So it might have been me. You don't think this is a good point? It might have been me.
Maybe it was
Could have been me.
It was probably Taylor.
Yeah, well,
you don't need him out there dinking and dunking when that's not really his skill set. And that's another thing about the fit with these two that I don't really know that it meshes.
Yeah, and that's why also I think when you go back to the Mac Jones, for lack of a better word, semi-successful season of the 2021, that's kind of what he does, right? Like, he is sort of a dink and dunk type of quarterback, and his best asset might have been his brain. I think that was overvalued and over-discussed, but more so than arm strength and ability to run, like with Drake May. So this is, once again, we're talking about, is it the right fit? Do these two guys line up the right way? And in this case, you have more invested in Drake May. So if anybody should really change or adapt, it's the offensive coordinator to your number three overall pick quarterback. It shouldn't be the other way around.
That's what a good coach would do. A good coach would adjust their system to the talent they're given. McDaniels is pretty rigid.
And that's what all coaches say they do. It's just a matter of, like, do they actually do that? They're always like, of course we adapt to, like, what the player does well. That's coaching. You're like, well, let's see it then.
Right.
Like, let's go ahead and actually.
Does it look like he adapted his system to the skill set of Drake May through 1 week?
No, not yet.
Yeah, the answer is no. You can jump in 617-779-7937. We'll get to you there. Meanwhile, how is Christian Gonzalez still not out there? What does it mean for the defense? And oh, by the way, who's calling plays this weekend on defense? We'll get to all of that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Might we see Christian Gonzalez today?
Well, I don't think we'll see him today. Continuing to improve, which is positive, and working hard. But I don't think we'll see him today on the practice field. So, again, just working hard, keep improving, staying engaged, still preparing as a starter and asking questions in the meetings and all those things. So, That's where we're at today.
How's Mike Vrabel on Christian Gonzalez yesterday? I don't think he's playing this week, Keith, right? Like, we were all excited yesterday.
No, I mean, he had the great Instagram story. We
trying
played the
to
music.
Read into it, yeah.
We had to edit it, but we played the music.
It was good.
And I was like,
they get back on my.
That, to me, translates to, I'll be back on Sunday, seeing South Beach.
That's how I took it.
That's how I read that.
Yeah.
Then Vrabel was asked, hey, is Gonzalez going to be there? He's like, No, he's not going out there today. So I don't think I feel like, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I hate to admit it, but I feel like for him, because it's been so long, don't you kind of save it for then like a full week of practice, like Wednesday? He's at least limited. Like, he's on the field limited. I don't think you start a week with a did not practice and then you throw him in a game on Sunday.
Me neither.
So
in fact, if he's going to play next week now against Pittsburgh,
I'd like to see him Wednesday.
Well, he might need to get like a walkthrough limited practice.
Oh, even a limited Friday.
This week.
I got you.
You know, yeah. Like that, if we don't know going into next week's game, there's a chance he's going to miss. And again,
this is a bad hamstring injury.
They didn't put him on IR.
No.
So that implies he should be back by the Panthers game at the latest,
yeah,
right?
Less than 4 weeks.
But the Bucs with Chris Godwin, I don't think he's coming back until week 5 or 6, maybe later than that. He's not on PUP or IR, whatever it was. I forget when he suffered
but like,
the injury.
Kittle, also a hamstring injury, and they just immediately put him on the 4 week IR.
The implication by the team, forget the initial report by Jordan Schultz, which said, no biggie, he's back week one.
Whoops.
Which either he's a terrible reporter,
maybe,
possible.
Maybe.
Possible.
Tries to fight you in a Starbucks.
Or it implies that the team felt like it was a grade one hamstring.
Yeah, probably that.
No issue, and he's going to be out there week one.
Yeah.
And something happened. Could have had a setback. Maybe he's holding out. I see your text on the text line.
So
maybe holding out.
I don't think that's the case. I don't. The timing doesn't make sense.
Well, it does. It does. If they're if they're far apart, they can't give him a contract today.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not like they can solve it with like, hey, here, dude, here's a contract. The more games you miss, the less likely I'd want to give you the contract.
But what if they're miles apart? Because even though they can't give him the contract
now. Are they negotiating now for a year from
now? You don't think his agent called up the Crafts when Sauce Gardner and Pat Sertan and all these guys signed their deals and says, hey, you're offering that to Christian, right?
I'd be like, yeah, if he has a good year. Get on the field.
Okay. Well,
that's what I would say.
But maybe that's part of the issue. So
be.
Maybe they're, yeah, whatever the number is or whatever the holdup is, maybe they're just miles apart. They can't offer it yet. They can definitely negotiate and start talking about what they want day one of when they can offer it.
Yeah.
I'd hate to think they get to day one, whatever that day is, the new league year next year. I don't know.
Yeah.
When you can offer them the deal and go, all right, let's start talking now. I'm sure they're talking now.
But can't you be like, if you're the Patriots, be like, yeah, we'll probably offer them that.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to actually do it. They haven't put pen to paper yet. And then see what kind of season he has. If he has a good season, he missed most of his rookie year. He had a good year, too. It shouldn't be like a holdout situation now. They have his rights for 5 years want it.
I'm actually with you on this. They can't even offer him right now.
No, I
they
know. That's why I think it's strange.
But
Vrabel started this whole thing.
Well,
Vrabel did.
Maybe Gonzalez's
maybe
camp
Gonzalez
started the whole thing, which is why Vrabel offered up his contract. And then what do you know? The first day they're in pads, one of the first plays, he's out there chasing digs and pulls up lame, and we haven't seen him since. Outside of one sweet Instagram story. We haven't seen him since.
Let's make it about us for a second.
Yes.
He was a Patriots Monday guest last year. He and Hunter Henry.
Yep.
And this year, he is not. Hunter Henry is back. Did they know that, like, not only did he not really enjoy his time doing it.
Oh, I thought you were, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying there's correlation between staying healthy and our show.
No.
You're
specifically
saying,
like, they knew, like,
they
we don't want to ask contract questions to Gonzo once a week on this stupid show.
Much better conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Much better theory. Yeah.
That's my thought, because, like, they usually don't put injured guys on shows.
The guy,
you know,
who's,
because they don't want people to ask them about injuries.
Great theory.
Thank you.
This never occurred to me.
Yeah. Big brain over here.
Huge brain.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that,
I have to wear big hats.
Speaking of that, we're going to get to another big brain take by you.
Yep.
About Aroldis Chapman coming up.
Guys, you'll thank me later.
But no, Christian Gonzalez had been a Patriots Monday guest, and they're like, the guy that's pissed about his contract and annoyed at the team, let's not have him go on the radio all year.
Correct.
That's not a bad theory.
Right. Not that he says a lot, but the off chance that he does, let's not.
That
put
might
him
be the
spot.
Kind of thing he actually
we don't want to do
says
that.
He has a lot of time for. Great theory.
Yeah.
How long have you been cooking that with that? Just come to you? Have you been thinking about that?
On the drive-in.
Nice.
That's
a good theory over there.
The next question.
I like
in traffic forever.
So I all I know is he should be out there by the Carolina game based on the team not putting him on IR.
Otherwise, you would have just given yourself a roster spot.
So
and,
if he's not back by Carolina, you know the team thought he would be back. You know that definitively.
Definitely.
Barring some sort of setback, you know it. Meanwhile, I wonder how much of the way they called the game last week is because they didn't have Gonzalez, all-out blitz and things like this. They gave up 9 different explosive plays to Geno Smith. I wonder if that's Terrell Williams's play-calling style. We've never seen it before.
Very aggressive.
We're not going to see it this week because, unfortunately, he's out. Not going to be there, we don't think. There's going to be an update later on in the week from the team, as we found out yesterday from Mike Vrabel. So you hope he gets his health right. He should probably take some time away. And I don't mean like a few days. I mean a chunk of time away, given the health scares he's had. So you hope he's doing well. But you wonder how much of that was the lack of Gonzalez. How would Gonzalez being out there change the way they call a defense? How much was that specific to Geno Smith and the Raiders? And then who's calling plays this week? If it's not Terrell Williams, is it Vrabel? Is it Zach Kerr? He kind of threw both those names out there. I don't think we know the answer. Who should it be this weekend calling plays on defense?
I think Mike Vrabel. I think it should be Vrabel. Zach Kerr's never done it, and doesn't mean someday he won't be a defensive coordinator and someday he might be really good at it. But I think this team, it's early in the season, but after coming off the loss that they just had, what would be your best? And I think it would be Mike Vrabel, an experienced defensive play caller who has had some good defenses in the past in Tennessee. Let him do this, at least for this week, and who knows how far it goes. And I'm sure you can kind of, you know, in practice, normally you do this with players, but with Zach Kerr, you can probably like up sort of the reps there and the responsibility for him there. But for this week specifically, you don't want to be talking on Monday about how like, probably should have had the experienced play caller do it. Because look at last game, for example, like that 3rd and 20 that the Raiders were able to convert, or a couple of really key plays. I think you want Vrabel doing that. Not the guy who has had zero experience.
I agree with you. Now, I would answer in a vacuum, is your head coach calling plays when that wasn't their plan ideal? Like, some coaches do it consistently, right? Like,
a lot of offensive guys do, and they do a great job of it.
McDaniel's been just tremendous at it recently for the Dolphins. He's been really good at it.
Andy Reid's not bad.
No, some coaches are really good at it, right? I mean, Sean Payton calls his own plays. So some coaches are good at it, but that wasn't the plan with Vrabel.
No.
Is that ideal? No.
No, it's not ideal. No,
but,
no.
But I agree with what you just said 1,000%. Do you want to come out of the game on Monday with a loss and say, wasn't the best spot for Zach Kerr to just parachute in and be a play caller on defense, and we'd like a few plays back, and maybe I should have taken over those responsibilities?
I would say especially against Miami, where they have two guys that literally you make one mistake on one play, it's an 85-yard touchdown.
Yeah, bingo.
So like you got to just put whatever you think your best play caller is, and right now, looking at it, it would have to be Vrabel.
Also, I might feel differently coming off a win. But that wasn't just a loss, that was a bad loss at home.
Yeah.
And you need to be a little desperate.
Yeah, 0-2 starts. I mean, everybody's scrambling after that.
Vrabel should be. Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm with you. He should be the one calling plays on Sunday. And if you want to put more and more plate talk here, you want to put more and more on Zach Kerr's plate as you go along and eventually handhold him into being the play caller, if Terrell Williams is going to be out for a long time, fine. This week, it should be Vrabel. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. We got a key for madness for you at 1245. Rob Bradford talking Red Sox coming up, as he does every Thursday at 1130. We're going to mix in some Celtics and Bruins thoughts later on this upcoming hour as well. But coming up next, let's get to the Red Sox. They lose in Sacramento. I was about to say Oakland.
Sactown.
They lose in Sactown. Aroldis Chapman apparently is human. We'll get to that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.